This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We got Percocet Roy in the house. No telling what's going to happen. He had a surgery of some sort, a procedure, and he is hopped up. So we'll see where this ends up today. Also, some of you were critical of our Milwaukee Bucks takes around here, so we brought in a big gun. We brought in for an hour. We brought in our basketball bazooka. Amin El Hassan is here so that the analysis gets a whole lot better. Let's give him his highly produced open here.
Time to talk basketball. Amin knows basketball. He'll teach you basketball. Expert in basketball.
A former front office executive, Amin El Hassan. Before we get to the NBA draft, an annual celebration, unlike very few others in sports, what were you guys talking about during the break here before we started? Was it the Fresh Prince that you guys? I've never seen you guys so engaged on a subject. Was it Fresh Prince reunion that you were talking about, or was it something else? There was a show you were talking about.
Holy black in my day, huh? We're talking about TV shows, and Dan just picks Fresh Prince out of all the shows, huh? Okay.
What were you talking about, though? Because I was reading about the reunion that Aunt Viv was bitter, and Will Smith took all criticism that was coming his way in terms of being an ego monster. Uncle Phil make Dwayne Wade and LeBron cry. So I thought maybe that's what you were talking about because people were talking about it.
No, we were talking about Homeland.
Very different show.
Yeah, totally different show.
Yeah, nowhere near close to the same show.
I can't even see how someone could confuse the two.
Well, I didn't hear any of the conversation. I just heard them talking about a show. That's all. And just widespread enthusiasm.
Quite the assumption you made there, Dan.
But they were talking about Homeland. How'd you make the leap to Fresh Prince? I mean,
because it's viral and people are talking about what happened with Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv.
Yeah, you're aware of what that show was about, and they were talking about, you know,
I didn't hear any of the details on what it is that they were talking about. I just saw them enthusiastic about a television show.
Let this be a lesson, Dan.
So nobody's got an opinion on Fresh Prince?
No, they got opinions on Homeland.
Yes, do you want to hear them?
Sure. Who's going to give them to me, Amin?
About Homeland? Oh, yeah. Well, we were talking about how Carrie is just the most unlikable character, unlikable protagonist in television history. And it makes you feel bad because I know she's dealing with mental health issues, but does that mean I still have to excuse her wild, erratic behavior?
It's kind of like the opposite of the Sopranos. The Sopranos, you have Tony Soprano, who's a mafia leader, kind of a bad dude, but you root for him. And now you have Carrie, who's like working for the CIA, doing good work, but I find myself rooting against her because she's just terrible.
This is a lot different than the way it went off air. The way it went off air was, I said I had to stop watching Homeland because I just couldn't cheer for Carrie. Like, for whatever reason, she would just drive me crazy. I had to stop watching it. And it's weird because you have all these other shows where you have these horrible, like, villains or whatever, and you're rooting for them. And this show, you have her. She's supposed to be a good person, and I just can't root for her. And then it turned into everybody yelling at me that I hate people with mental health issues is what it became.
It's Claire, by the way, guys, not Carrie. But I digress. I can actually bring it further than that. I was actually talking about with Amin with
name is Claire Danes in real life. Her name on the show is Carrie.
Yeah, I knew both of those.
That's
tomato,
a
tomato.
Fun somewhere. Yeah,
potato.
Yeah, we were talking about Designated Survivor before that, and the explosion that happened in the government, and then I tied it to Homeland. It was a whole thing.
Designated Survivor, if you don't know, is the Kiefer Sutherland show where the entire U.S. government is in Congress and it blows up. And so now this guy who's like 350th away from being president becomes president of the United States because he is the designated survivor. The funny thing about it is not that. The funny thing about it is apparently Tony tells me that in season two, they do it again.
I'm confused by that show because it started off as a network show and now it's a Netflix show, right? Designated Survivor.
Wow, that was a real fart that just conversationally ended everyone being able to talk about this because I don't have any information for you on this show, but it doesn't seem like anyone else either does. And you might just be confused about how television works.
No.
To be fair, The conversation on Designated Survivor started because we were talking about Anthony Michael Hall, and we were wondering what he's been in lately. And so we went through a rabbit hole of his filmography. And if you're wondering why we're talking about Anthony Michael Hall, it's because we were talking about the 1989 cautionary tale Johnny Be Good, starring Anthony Michael Hall. And because he demanded it, the only way he would do this movie is that they cast his best friend to play his best friend. His best friend, some guy named Robert Downey Jr.
That was like a cheesy Hollywood segment.
Terrible.
Like, what, you got your music there and you told a story. His best friend. And then you just dropped on us. Well, Robert Downey Jr., big surprise there. Why did you take on the persona of a game show host there in the telling of that story?
I don't know, Dan. I'm a professional. You know, this is what I do. These are my aspirations of my post-ESPN career, hosting like Entertainment Tonight or something like that.
Speaking of that, Kevin Frazier, huh? He's done great. Remember, he used to do SportsCenter, and now he's like on Entertainment Tonight or one of those. What a turn, huh? And you wouldn't even see him be like, that used to be the guy on Sports. And you're like, yeah, that's Kevin Frazier. Entertainment Tonight, Access Hollywood. What? The problem with those shows, I don't know the difference between any of them. Like, I can't tell you who's on which one. I can't tell you which one Mario Lopez is on. I think he's been on multiples. Who knows?
All entertainment shows look the same? That's what you're saying?
Just
to be clear. None of this is about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
No, not yet.
Okay. No one ever mentioned.
Would you guys like to talk about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion? Is this not something that people are talking about today more than Homeland? You're going to have to forgive me. I fell asleep at 6 o'clock last night.
You what?
6 p.m. I fell asleep. So I didn't see any of the draft last night. I got caught up at midnight reading a bunch of notes. It's not the way to watch the draft. It's a much less fun way to watch the draft, just going through papers. How weird was it to have it done virtually? I mean, did it make you extra sad?
No, the weird part was I kept getting texts from people asking, why are all the players crying so much? And I said, because usually you get announced, you hug your mom, you shed a couple of thug tears, you get up, and you have this walk to the stage where you get yourself together. And by the time you're coming up the stairs, you see Adam Silver, you're like, okay, here it goes, my photo op. And so you get to keep it together. And then you sit down and you get interviewed by Maria Taylor, or I guess last night it was Malika Andrews. And, you know, you hold it all together then, and then you go through this whole press junket. But now these guys are all sitting in their living rooms with their moms right there. And it's not like I get up and walk away from mom. I'm still there. And so they were just wrapped in the emotion. And so everybody was crying. And so there was a real missed opportunity for the NBA to get sponsored by Kleenex.
Yes, nice synergy there. Because they should have expected those tears. They should have. You're saying that the virtual draft, in terms of raw emotion beyond the packaging, the virtual draft was more honest than the actual draft.
Absolutely. Way more emotional. Way more emotional, way more raw. And, you know, for my money, someone from sales should have seen this coming.
Don Libertard.
If all the rain drops were lemon drops and gun drops, oh, what a rain that would be.
Stugatz.
Standing outside with my mouth open wide. Ah, 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 ah. If all the rain drops were lemon drops and gum drops, oh, what a rain that would be.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer has changed the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
I want Amin El Hassan's expertise. I believe, no matter how much we mock him, I do believe that Amin El Hassan has not just the credentials, but the knowledge about what it is that he's watching that is vastly more sophisticated than most of the people that we talk to around here about basketball. So who did you see last night, Amin, among the teams where you were like, that was interesting? What they just chose there strategically is very smart. That fits. Like, where are a couple of spots where you're looking at teams and saying, oh, that was smart what they did there?
Well, I don't know if it was smart, but it definitely was ambitious for the Bulls to take Patrick Williams fourth overall. He's young. He didn't even start for Florida State. And I was doing a radio interview last night, and someone asked me, so, well, that's happened a lot. Guys who didn't start a lot and they went on to be great players. I said, yeah, but most of those guys played on teams that were stacked with NBA talent in front of them. Drew Holiday, Devin Booker, Marvin Williams. These guys all played on loaded NBA kind of programs at the colleges that they played at. And Patrick Williams didn't really do that. But in a draft where everything after pretty much three-ish is pretty flat, meaning everything from four to about 20, it's all in the eyes of the beholder. I thought that was a pretty interesting take.
So wait a minute. You're saying it's dumb. Like, I'm asking you for smart, and you're telling me that's curious.
I'm not saying it's dumb, but I'm saying it's curious, and it might pay off because in a draft where everyone is so flat in terms of the guy who went fourth could have went 10th, and the guy who went 18th could have gone 5th, then you take a reach for a guy who's young and say he's got a higher ceiling, and maybe he's got an opportunity to turn out to be a lot better than some of the more developed guys that went after him.
What else?
Well, the Knicks drafting Obi Toppin 8th was just tremendous, right?
Help me with this, because he was widely regarded as the best player in the country last year, and he's the reason that Dayton was good, correct?
The Knicks thought they were going to have to move up to get him.
Okay,
right?
So yep. what was interesting about that to you? Because I saw that Stephen A. Smith was really angry about that.
Well, he was angry because if you're looking at needs for the Knicks, I mean, power forward ain't one of them.
Right. They're pretty stacked at that position, and he's 23 years old. He's going to be 23 at some point in this year. And people always ask, well, what if he can play, he can play. But the idea is, for instance, you look at Precious Achiuwa is 19, and this guy is 23, meaning in 4 years when Precious Achiuwa is coming off of his rookie scale deal, he'll be as old as Obi Toppin is right now. And you can think about how much development a guy can have in 4 years. The other thing, and this is just the creme de la creme. Someone tweeted this. I can't remember who. I give him credit. But you look at the Leon Rose, former CAA agent, the head coach he hired as a CAA client. Three of the assistant coaches were CAA clients. Six of the 11 guys that they interviewed for the head coaching job were CAA clients. And Obi Toppin is rep by who? CAA.
Who would you have taken there if you're the Knicks?
Hold on a second. If I can, just real quick before we get to the Knicks. Once again, Amin trying to solidify his storytelling spot as a game show host where he throws us a question so that he can answer it, and it could be either Robert Downey Jr., also represented by CAA, or CAA. Go ahead and ask him again about your
he
beloved.
He did it with Kleenex, too, in the first
Your
segment,
beloved
yes.
Knicks. Ask him again.
So, Amin, who would you have taken there? Because I'm a Knicks fan, and I like the pick. Now, I don't know Obi Toppin, but I sure like the highlights of him dunking. I mean, they were exciting.
And I want to be clear. I think Obi Toppin is a good prospect. I don't think he's a bum or anything like that. But the guy who got picked right after him, Denny Avdia, again, 19 years old, skilled, high IQ, really high ceiling. A lot of people felt really excited about what he could become. And if you're the Knicks, I just don't understand the desperate need for someone who is developed right now to add to your program. You're not going anywhere. You're probably not going to make the playoffs. You're definitely not going to go deep in the playoffs. So you might as well build and take someone who's got an opportunity to give you some upside at the end.
Many of the listeners were writing in saying, hey, how amazing it is that just a few days after we did a show in which we asked for athletes whose names sounded like a sneeze, the Miami Heat would draft Precious Achiuwa. So what did the Heat get there other than a player whose name that sounds like a sneeze? Because he's the most athletic player in the draft.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say. And I was telling the guys before the show, I actually scouted his brother. That was the last kind of scouting draft class that I scouted when I was with the Suns. God's Gift, who played at St. John's. And Precious is kind of like an evolution of that. Because God's Gift was a true big, like a big, strong guy and athletic. Precious is more lithe. He's more mobile and agile. His ability to guard across different positions is markedly better than his brother's was, and he brings all the vertical leaping, the great hands, the strength. So in terms of Miami, me and Mike were talking earlier, that's kind of what they needed when Bam was out, when Bam could not play in the finals. They needed someone like that. And I don't know if Precious would have changed their fortunes, but he definitely satisfies a need.
All right. I mean, thank you for not even breaking a smile once, because this is such knowledge to you that it's very common. But I had no idea that Precious had a brother named God's Gift. I'm learning that in your analysis right there. DeVille, you just gave that totally straight face, God's Gift and Precious. I did not know that there was a player named God's Gift.
Yeah, his parents are Pentecostal ministers, so the kids' names are interesting. So you got Precious, you got God's Will, you got God's Gift, you got Promise, and you got his sisters, Grace and Peace. So pretty interesting names.
And that is Percocet Roy speaking through a procedure. thank you, Percocet Roy. I did appreciate that information.
Boy.
You're welcome.
That's right. Boy. So you said with no smile on your face, God's Gift. It was the most common name.
I feel like if they name you God's Gift, the expectations are
really
just,
right? He's not kidding. That is putting enormous expectations on a child. He is so right.
I'm just surprised no one came in with there isn't a brother named God's Bless.
I wish I had the loser game show sound. When is this thing going to get fixed?
I got to unplug it.
Mike, I need this thing fixed.
Give it a power cycle.
Mike, I need this thing fixed. I've been asking for a printer for 3 months around here. We're a very important and big radio show. Can I get functioning equipment so that when Amin makes a terrible joke, I can hit him?
You just got to reset it, man. Pull that out and put it in. Want me to do it?
God bless Achua.
That's a good one. That's a key mix. Big night for Nigeria. There were 8 players of Nigerian descent who were drafted last night. So shout out to all my Niger out there.
Curious what's going on with the Heat in Nigeria, wouldn't you say? I mean,
why do you say it like a genie?
Well, because there's like this whole prevailing theory among Heat Twitter that the Miami Heat are assembling the Nigerian Avengers.
What's happening?
That's why
here?
You said it as a gypsy. That's why you said
I'm
it.
Hinting, even though I know his nickname isn't Nigerian Freak, but there's ties there.
Yes. All right. So we'll get into the Milwaukee Bucks with Amin, because his basketball analysis is better than ours. So we'll tell you what they've done in a way that's not quite as dumb as we did it.
Don Lebatard.
And Demolition Man is Drexler.
Absolutely not.
Die Hard can be Jordan.
Drexler.
Look, it's not a
Paul Millsap.
A couple more years. I mean,
Stugatz. I'll tell you what Demolition Man is. Demolition Man is Jamal McGlure.
What? Get out.
That's disrespectful.
Unbelievable.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
The Dan Le Batard Show is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lot.
I do not believe that there are many people at this network that know more about basketball than Amin El-Hassan, so we are going to take advantage of his time here to really get to some good basketball information. But first, you may have noticed that Christine Lisi has been contaminated. The way the Bills lost, she has been dark this week and especially cruel. We've got a legitimate human resources complaint after yesterday, but let's see where the kazoos take us today.
And finally, an Indonesian man found a steaming hot meteorite just outside his residence one afternoon after it crashed through his roof. Due to its extremely rare chondrite composition, the space rock fetched $2.4 million from collectors. The man said he's going to build a church with the money. How about that?
Well, look at that. That's a sign from God right there. That guy was praying for something. Beautiful story and much lighter. She has apparently gotten over the wounds of the weekend. Christine Lisi. We'll see what the next hour brings. Like I said, Amin El-Hassan is here with us. We're going to do, this is very exciting, Mike. How do you want to set this up for the audience? Because I believe it's going to be the most obnoxious, smartest conversation in the history of this network. Between,
or it might devolve into just name-calling.
Mina Kimes and Pablo Torre are going to be on with us to argue Harvard or Yale, the important story of the day. Because yesterday, Pablo Torre really escalated things when he started the beef by saying that Mina couldn't get into Harvard, that she was rejected from Harvard.
Yeah, it's the fiercest rivalry really in the world. This surpasses Crips and Bloods in terms of violence.
That really starts and ends the beef, so I'm wondering where they're going to take it today.
I don't know. That's a good tease, Stugatz. We will find out together in a half hour. But, Amin, one of the things that happened yesterday, and I don't know if this is something that has caused a lot of intrigue or not, because we're looking at who went where and all the trades and stuff. But can we read anything into the Bogdanovich deal falling apart in Milwaukee? Like, because the big story there is what's going to happen with Giannis, and they're building around Giannis and they're mortgaging future to keep Giannis. Can we jump to any conclusions because of how weird it is that the Bogdanovich deal fell apart?
There's two ways to look at this. One is that they overlooked a very important aspect in the sign and trade, which is the signing part. You have to convince the guy to come play for you, and they didn't do that. And so I find that kind of hard to believe. More likely, the NBA said, how the hell do you get a sign and trade when free agency hasn't opened yet? And so you've got to throw all sorts of cold water on it. And the guy says, I didn't agree to anything. I'm not going to Milwaukee. You do all this kind of hubbub to give the indication that nothing untoward happened before it was legal to happen. And so what we'll see is in a week or so, they'll come to terms and he'll say, you know what, I will go to Milwaukee.
Okay, so, but wait a minute. Your best guess here is this is just a bunch of noise so that they don't do anything that feels like tampering or breaking rules, that it doesn't mean anything about Giannis.
I mean, yeah. I think the shocking thing here, is that they didn't actually tamper in regards to this deal.
Right. Like, tampering means I talk to your guy without you giving me permission. I'm pretty sure Sacramento gave permission because they want to do this deal. And I'm pretty sure if they gave permission, they talked to Bogdanovich about terms. Otherwise, he wouldn't have agreed. So the whole thing, that's the smoking gun is, wait, how would you agree to terms without free agency even being open? And that's why they need to have like a smokescreen there.
I mean, what are you hearing about the severity of Klay Thompson's injury? What are you hearing there?
So from people who were there, they're saying that it's in that area of the Achilles tendon, and they don't know. The hope is, the optimistic hope is that it's what Kevin Durant had the first time he got hurt against Houston in the playoffs. It was a bad strain. And obviously in Kevin Durant's case, there was a clock for him to get back on the court because they were in the NBA Finals. For Klay, if that's the case, that's a huge sigh of relief for Golden State. And you say, well, just take your time and come back when you're fully rested, fully 100% healthy. But that is the most optimistic hope they have as he's going into his MRI this morning.
What do you think is going to happen in Milwaukee? Like, Drew Holiday, and if Bogdanovich ends up there, what's that going to look like? How much better are they actually? And how much did you think that those signings indicated, well, okay, Giannis is going back there?
No, I think those moves made them better. Maybe even championship favorite better. But in terms of him committing, I don't know if, oh, you got me Bogdanovich and Drew Holiday, I'm never going to leave now. I don't know if that's the thing that makes him commit forever. The other thing is, if they do win a championship, there's two ways to look at it. Some people think, oh, see, it proves that they can win a championship in Milwaukee. The other way to look at it is, hey, my work here is done. I gave you 8 years and I gave you a championship. What more do you want from me? And now I can move on to the next chapter of my career.
I mean, when you consider, am I being naive here? When you consider the fact that some of those picks in those trades, Milwaukee's given up, you know, first round unprotected picks in 25, 27, swaps in 24 and 26, stuff like that. Am I being naive to think that Giannis gave them some sort of indication he'll sign that Supermax?
I mean, naive isn't the word, but I wouldn't say it's a done deal or it's a slam dunk that he agreed to that. I think that, you know, as a player, I don't think you ever agreed to any of that, or his agent definitely wouldn't agree to anything on that note of, if you do this, we'll sign a Supermax extension, because you always want to retain the flexibility of knowing what else is out there. Think about it from Giannis's standpoint. If he doesn't sign, or if he doesn't give that indication, do you think they wouldn't have done that deal, or they wouldn't have gotten better players in there? They're trying to get good. They're trying to win a championship. They realize their window is now. They're trying to be aggressive. But, you know, at the end of the day, that aggression also leads to loss of leverage. David Griffin knew the Bucks were desperate to improve their roster, and he exploited it. And there's no way you can tell me that the second best offer for Drew Holiday was like 2 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps. No, they went full bore because they did not want an auction. They didn't want a bid. They did what Steve Ballmer did when he bought the Clippers. I don't want an auction. I'm just going to overpay.
What do you make of the Sixers? How much better are they going to be next year?
I mean, they definitely fit a lot better. A lot of times when people talk about Philly, they always ask, ooh, who would you trade, Embiid or Simmons? And I said, look, the whole point of this thing is bringing all NBA talent in the door. Now that they did the hard part of having those two guys, you just got to find the right supporting pieces. I think what Philly did was clean out a lot of the clutter and went out and get reputation shooters. And what I mean by that is Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, Al Horford, percentage-wise, they're good three-point shooters, but they're not reputation shooters, meaning if he misses two, I'm sagging off him as a help defender. And if you have Simmons and Embiid, you know the other three guys on the floor have to be knocked down reputation shooters like J.J. Redick was, like Bellinelli was, like Ilyasova was.
Man, Danny Green isn't that anymore. Like, I didn't fear him at all. I know he's got a reputation. I know what you're saying, but I watched him in the finals, and I'm like, I am never thinking any of that is going in. Every time I used to think with Danny Green, every single time it was going in.
He had a bad finals, but that's not representative of his entire career. And obviously Seth Curry, 44% career three-point shooting. Even Draymond Green was surprised.
What's the awkwardness going to happen there, right? Because now, is Seth now playing for his father-in-law?
Awkwardness? This is the Doc Rivers playbook. Hey, are we related? Come on down, play for me.
Playbook.
Don Lebatard.
So you don't like build-up, essentially. Like, when you go to a concert, you just want to see the main band.
I don't want even just merely the main band. Play the hits.
Stugatz.
Hey, artist, don't play the stuff you like. Play the popular stuff.
Huh.
Look at Music Snob. Wants to get right in there to the microphone. Go ahead.
No, it's just like, you're not coming across as like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Likeable?
Yeah. Likeable, yeah, I think. Likeable is the word that I'm looking for. Yeah.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Lebatard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Edwin Alvarado. And I Am Triple B tweets, designated survivor, did 2 seasons in network, the 3rd season on Netflix, then canceled. Thank you. Finally got an answer.
All right. So Stugatz was right I wonder who's picking these Dr. Pepper tweets. That was a very lame in terms of entertainment tweet. But you chose that tweet to show us that you were right earlier in the show, or did someone
I chose the tweet because when I asked the question, I got silence. And so I chose that tweet because the question deserved an answer, and that guy gave us an answer.
But the answer also is you being right, correct?
Hey, Stugatz was
that's
right?
Just a coincidence.
Holy. Okay. Stugatz was right.
So one of the things I wanted to talk about with Amin Alhassan, because LeVar is now going to join Michael Jordan after breaking into the conscience of America by threatening to beat Michael Jordan in one-on-one, and now his son is going to play for Michael Jordan. But it allows me to play what it really is one of my favorite sounds from the last couple of years, Stugatz, courtesy of CNN. This is before, really, a lot has changed in sort of the last 10 months of, like, this country sort of vibrating. And one of the things that's happened is that we've all sort of been introduced to what Chris Cuomo is and his brother and just, like, a funny – it's just – he's just funny in the middle of this. But at the time of CNN's playing this interview, talking to LeVar Ball – we didn't really know much about Chris Cuomo, or at least I didn't. We did know something about LeVar Ball. And so the backstory on this sound is LeVar Ball has sent President Donald Trump some big baller brand shoes.
We don't know if the president got the shoes, so we don't know whether or not he refused to say thank you.
He got them shoes. He know he got them shoes, and I tell you what, behind closed doors, I think he got them on his feet just dancing.
Are they?
And you know what song he's singing?
What song?
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
That is not a real song.
That's what song he's singing.
That is not a song.
They just made one.
You made that up, and it is not a real song.
That is good journalism by Chris Cuomo, just fact-checking LeVar right away. That is not a real song.
Just an amazing, underrated exchange on TV.
Very right strong. That is where Chris Cuomo's star started rising, right
what
here.
What song?
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
That is not a real song.
That's what song he's singing.
That it is not a song. So, you made that up.
It is so rare. It is so very rare for a journalist in real time to be able to fact check someone they're interviewing. Check out our South Beach sessions with Jorge Masvidal.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
That is not a real song.
I mean, how's that going to work, Michael Jordan and LeVar Ball? You got to give LeVar Ball credit, man. It's not there aren't a lot of fathers out there who have two first-round picks they've groomed.
Well, not only that, he's the only father to have two top five picks in NBA history. So he definitely gets a lot of credit for getting them to a certain point. And hopefully he's realized that this is the point where he lets someone else take the development curve. But I really keep thinking about, you ever talk trash about someone that you thought you would never meet? I could beat Mike Tyson, man. Everyone's scared of him. I don't know why everyone makes a big deal about Mike Tyson. And then you turn around and like, Mike Tyson's right in front of me. You know, Mike, I was just joking when I said all those things. It was for jokes. It's for play. I feel like LeVar's got to be in that situation right now. He said he could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one, thinking that that opportunity would never in a million years happen. But now, as we know, Mike says, okay. That's when it became okay. Personal.
All right. So, yes, Michael's going to want to do this, right? And it's going – put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Would you pay-per-view to watch Michael Jordan play LeVar Ball now?
In Where's one, my wallet?
One-on-one.
Take it off.
Well, what have you heard? Because I've read stories that LeVar has actually been humbled, that the business dealings got the better of him, and he's not quite the same person that he was when he was gasbagging all over our network and others.
Well, I think he's the same person. He just realizes that the approach that he took, it wasn't, you know, maybe needs to tone it down some, and understanding that he's got to step back. And like I said, at some point, you can't keep coaching your kids. You got to let other people do the coaching.
The Nets and James Harden, we've got less than a minute left here. So you do what with everything happening with James Harden in Houston?
Look, for me, if I'm James Harden, I should not want to go to Brooklyn. It's a bad situation in terms of basketball fit. I don't understand why he wants to go there other than I want to play with my best friends. But again, as we know, living with your best friends is not the same as hanging out with your best friends. When you live with them, when you're roommates, you see all the ugly habits and all the frustration comes to fruition.
Thank you, Amin. We appreciate your time and your insight. And we just wanted to leave some time here so you could hear a little more of that Chris Cuomo interview with LeVar Ball, because I can't get enough of that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That is not a real song.
It's so good. It's the cadence and the syllable count is perfect. Not a real song.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That is not a real song.
That's what song he's singing.